Near FM. And you are very welcome back to the final part of the Tuesday edition of Northside Today with me, Donny Tarrant. Now, I am joined on the line by Cathy Moore. I was to have also been joined by Steve Mandel, but unfortunately, Steve is not picking up. So we will have to admonish him loudly for that. But in the meantime, Cathy, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Hi, Donny. Thanks very much.
Cathy, archaeology and the built heritage. Now, I mean, it's a huge mouthful of a title, but really and truly, I suppose what we're going to chat about today is the amount of history and historical things that are literally on our doorstep.
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere you look in this country and around Dublin, there's history beneath our feet, pretty much everywhere.
You're heavily involved with St. Anne's Park, Cathy. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I run a consultancy in Dublin City Centre called Archaeology and Built Heritage Limited, and we're a commercial archaeology company. So we do a lot of work, say, for example, pre-development archaeology, that sort of thing. But at the moment, we're running something a bit different. We were contracted by Dublin City Council to run a pilot community archaeology programme in St. Anne's Park in Raheny. And so the programme is an initiative of the council and also funded by the Heritage Council and Creative Ireland. And really what it is this year it's a pilot programme, and it's a series of events or a programme of events and courses and opportunities for the public to engage with the history and archaeology of the park and also in the wider area in terms of learning about archaeology and how we research it and what we can learn about it. So I suppose what we've been doing in St. Anne's, we started in September, and what we've been doing is we've been running in the park, we've been running a series of events. So we've been having living history events in the park. So we started in September with Viking Dublin, and we had a living history group called Cleve, who would be sort of the industry leaders in that. So we had Vikings, shall we say, on site with a great display of all the different kind of objects and weapons and domestic items and clothing that Vikings have. Then this week, this Saturday coming, we're moving into the 16th century. The same again, we're going to have 16th century soldiers on site with a great display of the weapons and all the things that the people would have had and used around that time. And then we're going to finish in November into moving into the early 20th century and looking at the War of Independence and that sort of period. And we've also been running in the park then. We've been running walking tours, which have been very successful. And this week we have an exhibition launching in the Red Stables about the lost house of St. Anne's, because, as a lot of people know, the St. Anne's Park was originally a Guinness estate and was home to a huge, beautiful, huge mansion. Originally was in the park. It was demolished, I think, in the 1960s. And then, as well as in the park, we've been having things like online lectures and then, of course, the online course, Know Your Locality, which is what Steve was to be here chatting to us about, but unfortunately isn't.
And the thing that strikes me, and I want you to talk more about what's happening on Saturday in a moment, but do you think that, you know, people being restricted to initially the 2 kilometre and the 5 kilometre thing during COVID, that it has really helped maybe focus the mind that they maybe not have been walking as fast as they normally would have. They had more time to take things in. And while they may have been in an area and familiar with an area for many years, there was a lot of things there that they never saw before until they started going out for their more constitutionals as opposed to getting a bit of exercise, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. People, I mean, there's a great appetite in general for history and heritage in this country. People are really interested in their local area. And you're right, during the last year and a half, people got more interested in their local areas because they were restricted to it. And it was a great initiative by the Heritage Council and National Museum of Ireland called Know Your 5K, which was about going online and using different resources to research and to look up what kind of things are in your local area. Because a lot of there might be sort of, you know, what looks like an old stone wall that people would walk past and not pay much heed to. But that actually could be an old wall of an early church or something like that that could be in the area. So it's not always immediately obvious. We all know what the obvious big historic buildings and archaeological monuments look like. But there can be quite a lot of hidden heritage around, even coming down to little things like little old post boxes with VOR, Victoria Regina, you know, written on them. So there's loads and loads of hidden heritage and history around, and people did get very interested in that during the last year and a half, which was, I suppose, a positive thing that happened in all the mess that it was, you know.
And I suppose the other thing as well, then, which comes to mind, Cathy, is, and we would all be familiar with it from driving in our areas, you'd be driving past buildings of various ages and from various periods, and most of these have a plaque appended to them, but the amount of people who just walk by never read the plaque. Now they're stopping and they're reading the plaque, and it's they're informing themselves more and more all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one thing, you know, the great thing about the internet is there's so much available online now. So if you do walk past the plaque and you take note of what it says, you can go online, and nearly every instance you'll find some information online. There's great resources like the National Monument Service, archaeology.ie, Irish Architectural Archive, Buildings of Ireland, where there's like a wealth of information online about the history and heritage. And what people find is they go online to look up one thing, and they kind of go down a rabbit hole because you keep following through and finding more and more interesting information that you know they hadn't known before. So there's great stuff online, and it's so accessible now, which is brilliant.
Cathy, talk to me about Saturday and what's going to happen on Saturday.
So this coming Saturday in St. Anne's Park, starting at midday, in the area just adjacent to the Red Stables, which would be familiar to a lot of people, we are having a living history event in the park. And on that day, we are going to have living history practitioners from Clive, who are going to be giving us a taste of life in 16th century Ireland. So they will be in full 16th century dress, and they'll have a very good display of weapons, of clothing, of craft items, of domestic items. And during the day, they're going to be giving they'll be giving demonstrations how the weapons were used and talking to anybody who's interested about what they're wearing and what they have. But they're also going to give some short sort of 3 to 5 minute talks on specific aspects of life in 16th century Ireland. And then alongside that, we have experimental archaeologists from UCD Centre for Experimental Archaeology and Material Culture, and they will be giving a demonstration of bronze casting. So they're actually going to set up a furnace in the park, and they are going to work bronze and cast bronze objects. So that's a really interesting process to watch, and it's not something that you would see every day at all. So they're the two main events, and then alongside that, colleagues from my own company, Archaeology and Built Heritage, are going to have a small display of some of the kind of basic kind of things that archaeologists would find working in Dublin City. So that's a real range of bits and pieces, the kind of things we pick up on every site, like maybe clay pipes or certain types of pottery. You'd have to come along and see.
And Cathy, do people need to book for this, or can they just rock up on the day and go in?
People can just rock up on the day. The whole program is completely free, but people can just rock up on the day and come in and see what we're up to. And I should add, though, that while we're doing that on the grass area beside the Red Stables, there will be an exhibition in the Red Stables themselves on the railings about the Lost House of St. Anne's, which was the Guinness's mansion that used to stand in the park. So we've designed an exhibition about the history of that house and what happened to it and the residents of the house. So that's another piece of interesting information for people.
Yes, indeed. Guinness is synonymous with a very famous product from this country.
Absolutely.
Long before it became Diageo, let me tell you.
Indeed.
Cathy, you mentioned earlier in our chat, and it's something that I'd like to talk to you about, is the link between the Irish people and their history. We cling to it and we crave to know more about it, I would suggest.
Oh, absolutely. And actually running this programme in St. Anne's has been, it's never been so clear to me how interested people are. Like, there's a real appetite for knowing local history or even wider history of the country, but people are really genuinely so interested. I think it's just really part of the kind of Irish psyche. And I think there's probably, I suppose, as well, a strong tradition within Ireland of passing down family stories, local stories, and very much in our recent history. So, for example, being out in St. Anne's and people coming up and saying they remember the house being there, or talking about the area, you know, 50 years ago and what it was like then. And I know that's not maybe that long ago, but it's still very important to people, the kind of more recent history of areas and how they developed. And I know that when we're having our third living history event, which is about the early 20th century War of Independence, we've already had huge interest in that from people who, you know, parents or grandparents and, you know, have played their part, I suppose, and had great family stories about that time in Irish history. So you're right, it is an absolute, it's like a really strong part of the Irish identity, understanding our history and having an interest in it. It's great.
And indeed, of course, regular listeners will know that we here at Near FM are huge historical advocates. In fact, we do a history series every year, which we record on location around in our local libraries with historians, and we pick different eras and different topics to talk about. Unfortunately, of course, like COVID, that has fallen by the wayside for this year and last year, but hopefully we will get it up and running again next year. And we find as well that there is a massive interest among people, and I mean there's huge historical societies and everything around the area, and there are great people involved in these things. Like they're voluntary, they do it for the love of it, but by God, they're passionate about it, Cathy, aren't they?
Oh, they are, absolutely. And that's really kind of at the heart of community archaeology, which is really becoming popular, and community archaeology projects are springing up all over the country. And it's about getting communities actively involved in their local history and heritage, and even actively involved in excavations, working alongside professionals and learning about how archaeology works. They're actively involved in the restoration and preservation of sites that need that bit of extra care, because when the communities are involved, then it becomes even more of a kind of a sense of local place, a sense of local pride when it's, you know what I mean? That real sense of ownership when communities become actively involved, and it's not just archaeologists or historians making proclamations about areas or saying, well, this is this and that is that, from people themselves who live there and who might not be professionals, practitioners of history or archaeology, but when they are actively involved, that's a real positive. It's a positive for loads of things. It's a positive for the maintenance and the preservation of history and heritage, but it's also real great benefits for like mental health and kind of forging community ties. So it's a great development. It's a great initiative to see that coming in across our community archaeology. It's really good, you know.
Well, I suppose the man said, if you don't know where you came from, you haven't a clue where you're going to. Cathy, times on Saturday, I don't know if we touched on that. What time is these exhibitions on it?
The exhibition will actually be up from Thursday. I think people will be able to access that. But we'll be starting our living history and experimental archaeology displays. We'll be starting at 12 and running until 5 o'clock.
And that's your full Saturday penciled in, my friends. Cathy Moore from Archaeology and Built Heritage Limited. Cathy, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I find it fascinating, and the best of luck with Saturday. Hope the weather keeps up for you. Thanks so much for joining me, Cathy.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye bye.
Oh, that is an exceptionally good thing, my friends, to head along to there on Saturday down at St. Anne's Park, 12 o'clock until 5. So that's your full Saturday taken care of with that day out.
Near FM.